Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Mets, who now, BT, find themselves on the outside looking in. When you were out last week on, I think it was Wednesday. It was the day after the Peterson. Yeah, it was probably, no, it might have been Thursday. Peterson pitched on the Wednesday night and got beat up. Mets lost to the Padres. And that was after they won two in a row where Alonso hit the walk-off. That Thursday, I came on and said, for the first time, because you know me, I've been not, I hate even using the term positive or optimistic. I just tell you how I feel. And my feel up until that point, really up until the Saturday where they coughed that game up against the Rangers, that was the first time where I was like, uh-oh, I could be wrong about this team, believing that they're going to make it. Then Pete has the walk-off. Then they win the first game against the Padres. And I'm like, all right, let's see what... I still don't believe they've turned the corner. Let's see it. After the Peterson loss, and I'm thinking that Tong was going to get hit the next day, but that Thursday I said, for the first time, I feel like the Mets are going to get caught. They've played with fire far too long. The narrative can't be just hang on, just get us there. Generally, when that's the case, and it's been that way for a while, generally you will get caught. When you're trying anything you can to hang on for dear life, playing with fire, you're going to get burned. And now the Mets, after somehow, like think about what just happened here this weekend. Not only did they play god-awful baseball yet again, continuing on since June 13th, they lost two out of three with their playoff lives on the line to a Nationals team that is...
They just lost two out of three a couple weeks back.
But still, even that was on the road. Like this, the Nationals are such a garbage team, and with nine games to go, to me, the Mets had to sweep them to really put, okay, maybe they could move past this and get a playoff spot. Not only did they not sweep, they lost two out of three. So, like, I don't know at what point... Like, how can anybody still believe in this team? Not to mention they're going on the road where they haven't been any good all year long. They keep saying the same things afterwards. Well, we just got to win games. Yeah, well... You've had to win games for months, if not the very least weeks, and you can't do it.
I don't know what the Mets fan pulls out now to try to get them through this outside of, you know, hey, I mean, it's not over yet. I mean, that's where you're at. You know, you talk about like hanging on would work for certain teams, but the thing that's shaping up to be just unacceptably like all-time bad for this Mets team is that they're not supposed to be hanging on. This was supposed to be a big step forward from last year. Now with Soto here, and it's just been, it's been a long run of bad baseball, and I don't know why. I mean, I could certainly diagnose that starting pitching not giving you a good chance to win early in the games residually has a crazy impact on the rest of the team. I get that. That's probably the starting point. But man, oh man, this is just a confounding mess. And I actually thought... So you go back to the win where Pete had the walk-off, and then they beat the Padres the next night 8-3. I remember asking you, I said, you know, and you were fairly like, I don't feel it, you know, just being honest with us. And I said, you know, not even like a flicker hope with Pete with that home run, like that can't even get you going a little bit. And you didn't really feel it then.
They played bad in that game.
I know. And the way they played this weekend, kicking the baseball around, that is just, they are disintegrating. I don't have an answer for it, except, I mean, there's six more games to go, And even if they do find a way to get in, the conversations are going to be deep and wide because this thing's got to get blown up in a million directions.
Remember, a lot of my feel for, oh, they'll be fine, people are panicking, to me, there was too much time left. And also, that was pre-8-game losing streak. Like, things change when you see a team. All they had to do was win a couple of those games. Instead, they lost 8 in a row. Then they washed that down with even the win against the Rangers on that Sunday. It shouldn't have taken all that. And they should have had the game the night before in the bag. So, like, if you take the results out sometimes and just watch the way that they're playing, it was not encouraging. So that's why I didn't get caught up in that Pete home run. And then again this weekend, like, you mentioned it so bad. And by the way, like, could the Mets be any dumber? Why would you... The one thing that they actually had working outside of Nolan McLean was Holmes into Manaea.
Do you have an explanation for this, why they did that?
They thought, because they alluded to this pre-Manaea even going on the paternity leave, they thought that he matched up better with the lefties against the Nationals. So they're going again on the analytics. They're going based off of analytics. Clay Holmes has been the better starter all year long. And you just found a piggyback solution with him. Start Holmes and go with Manaea. You couldn't even do it two times through? What are you doing? Now, that's not the sole reason why they lost. You mentioned it, kicking the ball around, playing embarrassing baseball, the offense not consistent. But even that is a layup. You had McLean and then Holmes into Manaea, which is one of the more trusted things in that rotation.
I thought I missed something. I'm like, wait a second. Why is now Pete, why is he starting and not Holmes?
Yeah, they alluded to it over the last week or whatever. Now, Manaea was away with the paternity thing.
I know.
Say he'll come back. And like, so then they have him not only come back, but they have him come back and make the start. Yeah, it was simply matchups based, thinking that they wanted to have him against the Nationals lineup, I guess, to start the game through the first time, couple of times through the order, whatever it is.
I mean, they've lost every conceivable way. It's just, that's emblematic of a team that's just not that good. I mean, imagine if Juan Soto wasn't here. If Juan Soto wasn't on this team, what are they, a 70-win team?
Well, they'd be back.
Honestly.
They'd probably be back to what we thought that they were going to be last year before they went on that incredible run. Look, it's more than just one thing. Like, it's not just a chemistry thing. It's not just a starting rotation thing. It's everything. But it's gotten, like, I actually can't believe that it's gotten this bad. So much so that even if they were to make the playoffs, forget about now, I'm talking about going back a week ago, where I drew my line in the sand saying, I already know what this team is, and I don't care if they make it or not. They need major changes because the damage has been done. There's no excuse for this. There's no excuse for being the third wild card team with their payroll and the amount of talent that they have in that clubhouse. There's no excuse for it. And not only are they not going to barely make it, they're going to miss it. I was wrong last week when I said they were going to miss it. I said they were going to get caught by the Diamondbacks. They're going to get caught by the Diamondbacks and the Reds and maybe the Marlins. Like, honestly, BT, I would not be stunned if they went 1-5. They're dead. They're dead. Anybody watching could say it. They're dead. What makes you think that's going to change? You could hope and you could say, well, there's 6 games left. The same result continues to happen. Really, since June 13th. But if you want to just say even as recently as last week or last month, like, all they had to do is win a few games to try to right the ship. It wouldn't have been good enough, but it would have been better than this. This is unacceptable.
And the fans have come out. I know they set the record. I saw that over the weekend. City Field record, right? They shattered that. I mean, with the music, the songs, the crowd, the energy, the belief. They just keep going back despite the overwhelming evidence that this team just doesn't have it. I mean, listen, what I like to do is when things get so bad, I think it's important to establish layers of culpability. So while the season's not over and you don't think they're getting in, Hoff told us 2 weeks ago he thinks it's over. So I know he doesn't think they're getting in. But what is the number one culprit here? I mean,
I think it's David Stearns. David Stearns has had a Brian Daboll type year,
dude,
too.
Dude, his offseason was atrocious in hindsight.
Yeah,
basically, everything he did was wrong.
Yeah, and even at the trade deadline, like, David Stearns needs to still prove himself here. Okay, I don't care what he did in Milwaukee. Nobody did that. Last year was something that he earned some trust because of what he did with the starting rotation when everybody else said, wow, this rotation sucks. But he went out there and had a good, the rotation was good. So good, in fact, that the Mets made it to the postseason, went on their little run, even though they barely made it, still got in and went on a run. And I do think ultimately, much like Dable and Chain, that kind of masked bigger flaws. If the Mets didn't have the results that they did, if they just made the playoffs and got bounced by Milwaukee, if not for the miracle home run by Pete, it'd be a different story.
Yeah.
But because they beat not only the Brewers and the Phillies and then ran out of gas against the world champion Dodgers, like, it felt different. And maybe we were fooled by that, just like we were with the Giants and Shane and Dable. But David Stearns has had a Brian Dable-esque year, too. Dude, everything he's done has been wrong here. He's got to figure it out. I don't care what the... like, it's one thing for you and I to say, yeah, Helsley, a nice move, and the upgrades in the bullpen. He's got a hit on those moves. Trying to win a World Series here. Like, it's his job to go scout and figure out why Helsley would be the right guy or why he wouldn't be. Or why maybe Bednar would be better or Duran would be better. The Mets fell apart. Not to mention the offseason where we all could have told him not to sign Frankie Montas, yet he did. He took a chance on converting a reliever to a starter. Like, David Stearns, his moves act as if he is smarter than everybody else and he knows more than everybody else. The results are going to say that you're this close from having one of the worst seasons and most disappointing seasons in the history of a franchise who is known for disappointing seasons.
I think in the history of New York, I don't think it's just specific to the Mets. I really don't. I mean, I don't even know like what is on the same radar right now as these Mets, where you got to understand what's coming into play here. They had a really good year last year. They spent a lot more money in the offseason. They brought in a superstar. And, like, there's other teams that were supposed to be good, but just, you know, plateaued out, took a step back, injuries, whatever. This is very different. This is a next level hurt, almost to the point where even if they do get in, yeah, of course, Met fans are going to be enthused and hope that they can find a way to get something going. Well, I mean, listen, getting in versus not getting in, and I'm going to hold on to this. I really am. Now, do I believe that they're going to get in at this point? I mean, the Cubbies aren't playing particularly well. I still feel like the Mets are going to get in. I said that last week. I still feel it. Not a lot. But, like, if you do get in, it takes McLean or somebody to spin a gem and Soto to do some damage in the first inning. You take a lead. You feel very differently, very fast. But that doesn't delete or eliminate all these issues. And I'm telling you, like, one thing we don't know about Steve Cohen yet, we don't know how he's going to react. We don't know what this man is going to do when he is embarrassed. And Steve Cohen, while he's been pretty quiet on social media lately, he has to be colossally embarrassed for the expectations, the money that this man laid out going back a couple of years ago to buy a minor league system and all the things that he's done since. And to be at this point with 70, how many wins are they? What's their win total?
Right now?
Well, yeah, what is 80. It? To have 80 wins with a week to go in the season is just disgraceful. It has been an awful season.
Think about this stat here. This is from Sarah Langs, who tweeted this out last night. I saw this. The Guardians were under 500. Now, this is a bigger picture issue with Major League Baseball, but it pertains to the Mets specifically. The Guardians were under 500 through 139 games into the season, and they've been on such a tear right now that they find themselves in a playoff spot, or at least tied for the final wild card spot.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
139, right?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
The Diamondbacks were under 500 through 149 games. Under 500 through 149 games. The Reds were under 500 through 151 games. Now, to me, and then just to finish this off from Sarah, the most games into a season that a team was under 500 and made the postseason was the Padres in 2005. There were 157 games in. They were under 500. They still made it. Mets in 1973 was 153. Twins in 09 at 143. Dodgers in 08 at 139. So it doesn't happen that often. And now yet you have two teams with the Diamondbacks and the Reds who were given life in an otherwise dead season, given life because the Mets came crashing all the way back down. This is not what happened in 2022 where the Braves came up to catch the Mets. The Mets didn't collapse. They won 100 games that year, 101 games that year.
Yeah, yeah.
The Braves went 101. Up to get them.
Mm-hmm.
This is not that. This is the Mets slowly leaking oil from June 13th on to the point where they allowed teams that would otherwise be dead, even with the expanded postseason, to come back to life. And now, so much so that they're on the outside looking in and obviously don't have the tiebreaker with the Reds, who they're tied with right now and are one game in front of the Diamondbacks and don't have the tiebreaker there either.
And it's amazing that they just lose any kind of game. Like, you lose a high-scoring game 12-6, then you lose in 11 innings, then you lose a nail-biter yesterday, throw it all around the field. It's just, the Manaea giving up that two-run shot, the defense now, circus catches in center field, whether it's Alvarez at the end of the game, whether it's the other play, you know, where he's playing hacky sack, as everybody saw, Pete sprawling in the dirt. I mean, balls going flying all over the infield. It's just really a mess. And now, what is it? So, maybe you remember this. I don't know if you did a Rico yesterday, but is it Peterson? I don't have it in front of me.
Tonight, Peterson, tomorrow.
Peterson, yeah. Tong Sprout, right? I believe that's what the Mets have going.
I think Peterson, Tong Sprout. Mendoza only committed to, I saw the post game yesterday, only committed to Peterson. Beyond that,
Okay. Yeah. So, if it lines up the way it was, then it will be Tong and then Sprout, I believe, but he's non-committal past Peterson.
Which, by the way, even Peterson.
I don't know what to tell you, man.
I know what to tell you. It's over. And I actually, bracing myself for it after that Rangers series, even though I didn't believe it, bracing myself for it has made me feel better because I just accepted what I believe to be their fate. Now, it doesn't mean that that's going to happen. Yeah. Could they go out there and find a way to get themselves in? Sure. But I'm telling you, when you try to hold on, when you play with fire like this to this extent, generally you get burned. And they have been burned, and they'll be burned for good over the course of the next 7 days.
They very well might be. Listen, I remember saying probably, not at the beginning when they were starting to play poorly, because I didn't want to jump on them right away. But, you know, maybe 3 weeks into, or maybe even a month into when they really took it down. So maybe when the Pirates series happened, whenever that was, I forget exactly.
It was end of June, if I'm not mistaken.
About right. Right before 4th of July, I guess.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They played terribly. They just got whacked and just abused in that series. Like, it was such a ugly series. I remember saying, like, man, I'm starting to see a team where it looks like they're bad at more things than they're good at. And, like, it just seemed like an oversimplification, like, oh, okay, whatever. Yeah, they're bad at everything, they're good at nothing. Now, I was never saying that. But what I was fearful of for the Mets is that just when they solved one thing, something else sprouted up. You know, the starting pitching was very good early. Then it went on hiatus. Then the bullpen fell apart. Then they got a little sloppy on the bags. Then the clutch hitting wasn't there for most of the season. Then they couldn't hit a fastball, as we talked about when you look at the advanced analytics. And then anything that you can possibly have go wrong, not beating the teams you're supposed to beat, not winning at home when you won at home most of the year. There's basically the manager having a rough second year, as I've said. Everything's gone wrong. And, you know, would it solve everything if they win a couple of games here and squeeze in? Probably not, because I still think it's wrecking ball this offseason. But it ain't over. That's all you're holding on to. I know that you think it is. I respect that, Hoff. I know you think it is. I respect that. I'm sure if I were a Met fan, I'd be sitting here saying the same thing. It's over. There's no evidence, and the blind faith is expired. Don't waste my time talking about this team, believing in a team that has sucked fumes for 4 months. However, the reality of it is, it's still not over.
Hoff, you want to add something there?
I just one thing, because when they do miss the playoffs this year, I want everyone to realize that the conversation in the offseason should not be about Edwin Diaz and Pete Alonso, which is where most of it's going to be. Those are going to be the top two targets of, ooh, they're both going to get opt out. What are we going to do? How are we going to bring them back? It is every other position not named Juan Soto and Francisco Lindor. It's every starting pitcher on this team. It's the entire bullpen. It's basically the entire team. You're talking about the third base situation between Beatty, Vientos, and Mauricio. I'm sorry, you can't go into another season of them cycling around and seeing which one's going to work out. You got to be definitive and make a decision and move on from others and get
good players here now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's going to be a conversation for, in fact, the offseason. But I would disagree with some of what you said there. We'll have that conversation probably next week. Once it's over, I mean, that's going to be the we're going to focus on the Yankees being in the postseason and thankful for them that they can maybe go on a run here. They're starting to play their best baseball. Now, is that fool's gold with the opponents at the point? Whatever it may be, the Yankees are going to be in and have a legitimate chance to go back to a World Series and maybe win one this time where there's no world beater in the National League either, even though the Brewers are good, the Phillies are good, Dodgers always scary. No excuse why the Yankees can't win a World Series, but the conversation about the Mets, I feel, BT, is going to be about what changes need to be made so they don't find themselves in this predicament again next year.
And it's not tweaks. It's an overhaul. That's going to be a deep conversation, which we will certainly have, obviously. So, Mets fans, you want to jump in. What a rough road, my God. It's been brutal to watch. And the football is absolutely horrendous. Yeah, I mean, it's the Yankees right now, and that's it.
Would you be shocked if the Mets are going 6-0? Yes, I would, as a matter of fact. I would. What makes you think that the Mets will go 6-0 over these final seasons? 6-0? I mean, good God, I'd probably sign for 4-2, and I'm not even sure that gets it done. Like, realistically, you think the Mets are going to go 6-0?
Yeah, somebody did ask you that.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Rosie, get a grip here. They just lost 2 out of 3 at home where they've been good to a team that lost 92 games so far on the year. But Marlins have been on a heater. I mean, the Marlins have won 6 in a row.
Yeah, playing well.
And if historically at the Mets number, and even if you say, well, what does 2007 have to do with 2025? You're right, nothing. But what does 2025 have to do with 2025? A lot. The Marlins are better. They've been better. The Marlins are within 4 games of the Mets. The Marlins are within 4 games of the Mets because they have been playing much better brand of baseball in the last several months that the Mets have played. Like, this is now, it's gotten to a point where there is no more reason to say, well, there's still 3 weeks to go, there's still a month to go, there's still stop the bleeding. When all the pressure was on and all the lights were on, it was, you know, time to get down to it. The Mets got worse. They kept losing. They continue to lose. And you think they're going to come out of it for what? Based on what? Like, you need something to be realistic about. It's not hope. Now, I will say that if they get in, you can make a case, okay, they reset, and it just shows you how bad. Think about it this way. Even with the Yankees, like, the Yankees have not had a great regular season for the majority of the regular season. But we're at a point now where they're getting hot here. I don't care who they're beating. Like, they're getting hot. Okay, they fell short of winning the division in all likelihood. They're going to get in the postseason, and they're going to have as good a chance as anybody else in the sport to go win a World Series. Doesn't that tell you that the regular season is kind of worthless?
Well, I mean, the numbers you gave before, yeah. What was it, like 3 or 4 teams under 139 games before they got to 500? I mean, when it takes you that long to establish yourself and you're basically still a playoff team, it tells you something's not right.
Right, okay.
You know, but that's what they want. You know, I don't like it. I like to have 1 or 2 teams that are, you know, the perceived top dogs and, right, like, can they be taken down? Right. And then you get, I like a feel-good story. But I don't like months upon months upon months of sloppy play where you're still here with a week to go. I don't think it's fair.
But that's what we're at with this sport, and it doesn't mean anything once you get to the postseason, which is why I make a case, or can make a case. My case for the Mets will be different if they could figure out a way to get into the postseason. When we're here talking Monday, getting ready for a wild card round, whether it's the Mets or Yankees, and I think you can make a better case for the Yankees. Well, obviously they're going to be there, but I'm saying even in the postseason, I still think you can make a case for the Mets if they were to get there to say, well, hey, nothing else mattered. They got there. They overcame it. Exhale. Now they could set themselves up potentially for success in a short series.
That's what I've said. That's right. Why I've leaned on the, you know, one good start and then a 3-run bomb by, right, Soto, and everybody feels good about things. Now, it will be 3 games on the road, probably going across the country, right?
Right.
I mean, you really set yourself up for a grinder of a run. But I'll tell you what, this is even almost more depressing. Imagine where the Mets would be without these young kids.
Yeah, I know.
That at least injected some life into the season. I'm talking about the pitchers.
Yeah, yeah, they'd be dead.
Oh,
without
my
them.
Goodness.
They would have been dead.
Yeah, they'd be eliminated probably. Yeah.
Well, a month ago, they wouldn't have any pitching. Unbelievable. BT and Sal on the Fan. Mickey is calling from Walcott. What's up, Mickey?
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. Hey, I don't know where to begin with the Mets, man. I've been saying it for weeks. I definitely don't think they're making it. I think this solidifies it even more, but I, you know, like you guys say all the time, let you know, chips play out and just see how this last week goes. But for me, what I wanted to call about was Stearns. Stearns, I do got love for the guy, and I definitely think, you know, a year or two is not enough to judge, but we are starting to see certain things and certain decisions, because let's be honest, even the lineup cards, that falls more on him more than Mendoza at the end of the day. The lack of consistency in the lineup cards, the lack of signing the right players, me personally, my biggest thing with Stearns right now is when we get into the off season, whenever that is, whether it's the end of this week coming or the playoffs or whatever, sign Alonzo, get it done, because I don't want that to be a topic of conversation, and let that be the good move he does and then move on.
Yeah, but Mickey, because you know,
the longer I'm worried about Alonzo and the longer that lasts and lingers,
but you know that
he's going to put us in that worst
place. Mick, that's not going to be quick, Mick. That is not going to be a quick resolution there. Unless Pete, and thanks for the call, Mick, unless Pete Alonzo goes to the Mets and says, hey, listen, let's figure it out. I don't want this again. I'm getting rid of Boris, or I told Boris to just get it done. Give me an extra two, whatever, and I'm giving you a discount, which he shouldn't do because he's had a really good season. This thing is going to drag out again. So as much as nobody wants to go through the Alonzo contractual squabble stalemate again, I got news for everybody. We are. Because he's going to absolutely opt out because he's had a season worthy of opting out.
And you have to realize that there are much, much bigger fish to fry than worrying about Pete Alonzo. Now, I am in agreement that they have to bring him back. However, that's like...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Dude, they can't go back with the same thing again. So, like, Mets fans are going to say, well, they got to bring Diaz back, and they got to bring Alonzo back, or even forget about Diaz. Got to bring Alonzo back. Okay, and then what? That's when you say, the then what? That's the key to the offseason.
Yep.
Not Pete Alonzo.
Yep.
It's the then what that's going to be the entire offseason. Whether it is, again, I don't know, and I'm not advocating for this. I'll give my thoughts when the season is over, what they're going to do with the staff. Like, to me, I don't know how the entire staff would stay intact. I don't care how many bases they stole or what they think of Hefner, the pitching department, or the hitting coach. Like, change has got to be made. I'm not saying I'd fire Mendy.
Yeah. I'd probably start at third base. Okay. I'd keep base coach.
Fair enough. But my point is, like, those things are going to be addressed. And then the even bigger issues, like, what do you do with Nimmo, McNeil, Lindor, and so on? Like, there are major discussions to be had that even surpass Pete Alonzo coming back. This is not anywhere close to being all about bringing Pete Alonzo back.
I agree. Like, that's the big ticket conversation. Like, all right, Pete, because Pete generates, you know, passion, because Met fans love him, and you should. But, like, that's just to merely get back to this point. You almost assume that's Pete. You right. hope that the assumption's on point and Pete's back because he's a proven production guy. So if he is back, and hey, I don't know if he will be, but if he is, that's still not good enough.
Correct.
Because he's here now, he's been great, and you're still hanging by a thread.
Let's just pretend that Pete opts in.
Yep.
How you fix this?
Yeah, like, I mean,
those are the tough. It's not about a lot. Like, you
got to fix the outfield. To me, I'm starting with the outfield. I can piece together a Beatty, you know, even Alvarez one more year, see if he's healthy. I'm not saying I wouldn't look into some other things, but to me, you got to tighten up the outfield.
Yeah.
You just have to.
I have what I would do. I'm going to save that for next week when I feel like we're going to be having that conversation. John is in Farmingdale. What's up, John?
Hey, what's up? How you guys doing?
Hey, good. John. What's up, man?
All right. So I have my own beef with with you over there, Sal, but we'll get to that another day. All right.
You can get to it today. And what's the beef,
bro? So you're always hyping up the Mets, and I mean, look, you're the other glass. The side of the glass is full. I completely am with you on that. There's some things like with the division, how you say, oh, it's whatever, you know, this and that. But that's not even the reason why I called. But anyway, couple of things I got. First, Nick Madrigal, the Mets signed instead of re-signing Iglesias. Would you agree with that? The other thing,
there was no room for Iglesias, though. That's the problem. Like, yeah, there was a part of me that wanted Iglesias back because of the vibes only, what he provided in that clubhouse. There was no room for Iglesias on this team. And he's not very good.
All right.
I mean, do you disagree with that? You think Iglesias is good? Look at the year he's had.
He's had a rough year. He's at 220.
Look what he's done historically, and where are you playing him?
I agree. I just think it was more of like the vibe too, which why would you not bring that back? But then also, you know, you sign Nick Madrigal, who's not even maybe done anything, you know?
Didn't he get hurt at the beginning of the year before he could even participate? But anyway,
yeah, that's horrible. Yeah,
they're deeper issues than that. Continue.
All right. So Drew Gilbert, which obviously the Mets are looking for a center fielder. Why would you not bring him up and go for Cedric Mullins? So, like, you're going for Cedric Mullins, but then you don't bring up Drew Gilbert, and he's been doing pretty decent. But now I don't really think we have any more good stars to bring up that are in the outfield, you know?
Well, you don't know if he's going to be a star, and thank you for the call, John. And I would have loved to have had the debate with you. Like, I still don't understand why people can't, like, I predicted that they were going to win the division. They didn't. I mean, what do you want me to tell you? They won 101 games. Don't want me to predict the division? I'm sorry. I give you my opinion. I felt like they were going to win. I got it wrong. You want to tell me? You want to have me sit up in front of a firing squad? Like, it's been 3 years ago. Get over it. Blame somebody else for once. That has nothing to do with me. I mean, jeez. We got to let it go at some point.
They keep coming back
and
to
and
that.
Then, like, you're glass half full. Well, am I half full or am I realistic? I told you they were going to win the division. I thought this year they're going to be a playoff team. I mean, sue me for thinking a team with their payroll was going to hang on and find out a way to make the playoffs. It stopped feeling that way when they lost that game that Saturday night, blowing that game that Soto hits his 40th home run, 2-0 lead, hand over to the bullpen. Nice, clean, easy it should have been for Rodgers and Diaz, and they couldn't even get through that. To me, that was put the fork in them, and especially after this weekend, but even really the Peterson, whatever. There's many reasons to not believe in the Mets this particular year. What was the other part that he said that I wanted to get to? I got caught up in thinking about that pass. What else did he say right there? There was something pertinent that I wanted to get to as far as his... Oh, Drew Gilbert. There it
yeah.
is. Okay.
About the prospects.
They did not think that Drew Gilbert was going to be their center fielder of the future, which made him expendable. The problem is, A, they could be wrong. B, they could be right. But A, they could be wrong. B, they could be right. My issue is not giving up a prospect that you don't believe in. It's that you had a clear need in a center fielder now. You needed one. Obviously, they went out and got Cedric Mullins at the trade deadline. This one was major league ready. Even if you didn't love him, why not see what he could do? Whereas you saw what he did with the Giants, brings that energy and toughness and attitude that this poor excuse for a team could have used.
Yeah.
Like, that's the one thing that they need.
And do it before you make the trade. And then if he doesn't look like he's major league ready, well, then you make a trade or at least you investigate the trade market.
Correct. Like, they needed a center fielder all year long. They had one in the minors that was at least worth a look, that was somewhat major league ready. They chose to ignore giving him a look. They traded him, and he went on to have some success with the Giants. I don't think he's ever going to be a star.
He's a couple of home runs. I mean, they're choking each other out. It's more like a vibe thing, more of an energy thing.
But
this team needed some of that. Yeah, it's just been lackluster. I mean, listen, the thing that really threw me off set with the Mets, like, you try to determine, like, okay, well, and you're there, and I'm not there yet. I still think that they're going to get in somehow. I don't know why I think that. It's not really based on evidence at this point. Maybe,
right,
maybe I don't
enough.
Think the other teams are that good, whatever. Maybe I just think that these young starters will piece something together. Maybe I think Soto's going to go bonkers. I don't know. I just think the Mets are going to find a way to get in. But, like, the thing that complicated it for me is they had such a cushion, right? So even though the evidence on a nightly basis for months was overwhelming, like, God, they're just not good at much right now, I kept going, like all of us, they're up 10 games, 9 games, 8 games, plenty of room, they're fine, plenty of time, they'll figure it out, they'll get healthy, Manaea's going to come back, this guy's going to cut right, Sango will get right after that, you know, when he got hurt, when covering first base with Pete, he'll figure it out, he'll be fine, and time was always on their sides, really, Sal, and so it was always time-driven rather than if just watching them play, tangible evidence on a nightly basis that what they had on the roster would actually propel them to a greater height. It was more Well, the other teams aren't that good, and they're already up 8, 9, 10 games. They'll find a way to figure it out, but here we are. Am I not?
Well, because BT, all they had to do was play 500 for a stretch.
I know. They're playing 30, I think it's 39% baseball since June 30th. Okay. 39%?
Right, so think about that. So if they played 500 for a three-week stretch in August or a month stretch, they would have avoided
it's
this.
It's wrapped up, or they're probably hosting the wild card.
Like, that wasn't asking much. Oh, Sal, why do you have belief? Well, what? You don't think I believe they could play 500 for 2 weeks?
Yeah, no,
No, they can't. They go on a 7-game losing streak. They go on an 8-game losing streak. They lose 2 out of 3 at home to the Nationals. Like, come on.
Is this the worst one? If they don't make it, is this the worst one? It's got to be the worst one.
I think it is for different reasons. I don't think that this is a collapse the way that 2007 was a collapse, but I do think that overall it would be the most disappointing.
Can I give you the best?
Can I get a hit?
I give you the best explanation? It's not a collapse. This is the slowest car wreck in history. Everyone's seen it coming for months now, and it's eventually going to hit.
Right.
It's just, we have to wait for it to finally hit.
Right, but the biggest talking point or the biggest question is going to be, why? It's a very simple question. Why?
Mm.
Because there's no excuse. Like, you could say that they're not a World Series team, not a division-winning team. There's no excuse for that team, even in the current state, to be this bad. Like, do you think the Nationals right now, with all the Mets pitching issues, and by the way, the Mets had their proper pitchers lined up this weekend, where they had McClain, they had Sproat, and they had the Holmes-Manaea combination. Like, those are their three best options right now. They had that lined up. Do you think that this Nationals team that has lost 92 games on this year is better than this current today?
Well, no. And to your point, if they do make the playoffs, that's probably the pitching rotation, or at least, I don't know what order it would be, but the three that they had lined up this weekend against the Nats would probably be what the Mets tried out in the playoffs there with those three guys.
Maybe not anymore. It changes by the
day. Well, maybe it changes. I'm saying going into the weekend.
The
Manaea-Holmes combo, the two kids, that's what you'd say, oh, yeah, we're good to go. That's what we want.
That series was on a tee to be set up for them to sweep. Crappy Nationals pitching lineup. That's what I'm saying. Like,
it really is. Boy, if you didn't live this every night, Mets fans, you really wouldn't believe it. It is insane.
Call of the day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey. Did I say that? Oh, the mic was off. I'm sorry. Let me say that again. Today's call today is brought to you by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. Fan Eddie in Vernon, New Jersey, has really pressing issues on his mind. What's up, Eddie?
You had a caller telling you that he couldn't eat his macaroni and gravy on a Sunday.
That's what he said.
I want to know exactly what is macaroni and gravy.
Well, you're not Italian, are you, Eddie? Not that you need to be. What
I am
you?
Italian. My name is Maserati.
Maserati, what a name.
Eddie, I'm with you. It's sauce. Macaroni and sauce.
Well, you know what he means, Eddie. He's got the meat there, obviously, which makes it the gravy.
Macaroni isn't even right.
What?
Macaroni?
Yeah.
Eddie. What's wrong?
Pasta!
All right, well, whatever.
Come on,
man. You can have spaghetti and meatballs. It's not pasta.
Sauce.
No, it's not pasta. I mean, Eddie, that now's where you're losing me, and thank you for the call. Well, I did hear that, and I will admit, no, I'm getting caught up trying to do a sports talk show. I don't want to get totally derailed with that. I am not, like, never once in my household ever, when my grandparents are alive, whatever it may be, did we ever refer to sauce as gravy?
We always say gravy.
Really?
Yeah, we do. And I say it too now. Yeah, I do. There you go.
All right, the Abbott call time. Of the day. Yeah, I would go macaroni and meatballs. Now that I think that through, like my mom would say, we're having macaroni and meatballs this weekend.
Oh,
that would be it. But it's always sauce.
The good old days, huh? A little neck bones, a little sausage,
yeah,
a little ginger ale, a little bread, a little salad after the meal.
I used to love that, a football Sunday. Fried meatballs were my favorite thing on a football Sunday. My mom would make. They were delicious. All right, let's get Mitchell and Fort Lee in here to close us out. What's up, Mitch?
Mitch!
Hey, BT. Hi, fellas. BT, I hope you're feeling better. Sal, I hope you're doing all right also. Guys, I got two things. First about, I'll get to football in a minute, but baseball, I got one problem with Major League Baseball. I discussed it with Sal, that I can't believe that Major League Baseball, through the whole country, is going to play the first three playoff games, 2 days during Yom Kippur. They've only been played 3 times since they've had the playoffs. And I think that's really horrible, not just for the Jewish people, but for people that are fans, that people get invited to people's houses also. And it's just really wrong. Would you guys agree with me there? It's really wrong.
Yeah, I mean, is there a way around it? I'd have to really take a deeper dive into the scheduling. I mean, if you can be sensitive to that, it certainly would be better than not. But I don't know, based on the limitations, logistically, if they could.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Here's what I would say. You have a difficult decision to make, but sports are what they are. You can't just play. They play on Christmas Day all the time. The NBA plays on Christmas Day. Football now playing on Christmas
Day. Which bothers me. The NBA is one thing, but football, it's a different watch. We've talked about this. The Knicks it's obviously on, were into it, but it's just on. You're right. It's on. Five games in
more
a row.
Background noise as opposed to sitting down, locking into it. But what I would say is you have a decision to make. You could either choose not to watch it or not to go. Like, I'm not saying it's a fun position to be in, but what do you want to do? You got to be with your family for the holiday?
Well, didn't Sean Green not play years ago because of that, right?
Sean Green
elected to sit out?
Yeah, and also I would assume that this has had to happen before.
It's happened with the Giants a couple times, Monday nights. I know that Mara and the Giants organization has either expressed resentment for the league making them play during a Jewish holiday or being proactive or trying to be so that they wouldn't have to. I mean, it's come up before. Timing stinks.
Yeah, I guess my point is then where do you draw the line? Like, okay, so you can't play any sports whatsoever on Yom Kippur. You can't play any sports on Christmas Day. Like, you're going to run out of days. Like, if you honor everybody's holiday.
Yeah, well, maybe that's the trick, so we don't have to watch these teams anymore. Just, you know, forget about whether it's a holiday, religious or not. Just don't play anymore. Yeah, problem solved. Don't have to watch them.
It's a good point.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.